So thank you all for having me back. Rabbi Schoenfeld, tell me you've been doing this book recently.
Yes.
Rabbi Eliezer Melamed's Panini Halacha. It's originally written in Hebrew. This is translated into English. So I'm going to be giving this year this week and the next week. So I decided to pick some kind of self-contained topics that we could do this week and next week. And even though it's a book about tefillah, we're going to talk about tefillah a little bit. The topic I want to talk about today is Kiddush on Shabbos. And specifically for this year, for women's obligation in Kiddush. I'd like to talk about the background, what it's based on, what is women's obligation, and women's involvement in terms of at the meal, making Kiddush, hearing Kiddush from someone else, drinking the wine, and also about eating before Kiddush, Friday night, Shabbos morning. Those are the topics I'd like to address, unless someone has a detail I'm missing. Sounds relevant. Okay. We're all in agreement. Okay, the mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos. Where in the Torah, or is it mitzvah in the Torah, to make Kiddush on Shabbos? Is it a mitzvah d'oraisa? Is it d'rabbanan? Is it a minog? Is it a, what is it?
Well, they didn't eat it in the desert, did they?
Did they have Kiddush in the desert? Man,
did they ever mention Birkat HaMazon? No.
Well, Kiddush, let's talk about
No, I'm saying, but they didn't, it never mentioned it then, and that's when food was given directly from Hashem's hand to the
So
to the
is
people.
There a source for Kiddush on Shabbos?
No.
So the mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos is included in the pasuk of Zachar, Esiyom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, and the Aseres HaDibros, gets pretty high stature, right? To remember Shabbos. Zachar means to remember. So what does that include, remembering Shabbos? So it means Shabbos has to be special. Throughout the week, we should prepare food for Shabbos in the store. Something looks really amazing to save that for Shabbos. But Zachar also, as Shabbos comes in, to make Shabbos special before having a festive meal, before starting the day of Shabbos, to remember it, to sanctify it, to single it out, to make it special. Chazal also understood that the word Zachar could mean to mention. Zachreyu means to verbalize. So it's not enough just to think about Shabbos as you start Shabbos, but you have to say something. There's a bracha, Makadish HaShabbos, that is a fulfillment of the mitzvah d'oraisa, mitzvah in the Torah, of remembering Shabbos. Now, the word zachar also means to remember. And there's really two components that Shabbos is a zecher for something else. So what is Shabbos a zecher for? Zecher le? Yitzias Mitzrayim, and? Ma'aseh Bereishis, right. So the more understandable one at first glance is Ma'aseh Bereishis. Shabbos relates to creation of the world. Hashem stopped creating the world on Shabbos. And that's why we remember that creation by not doing creative activity on Shabbos. How is Shabbos Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim? What relevance does Shabbos have to Yetzias Mitzrayim? I'm not sure about that.
Shabbos Haggadah.
That's the Shabbos before they left. So what does Shabbos have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? So it could be that like this, like when we were Mitzrayim, we had to work very hard. And we couldn't have a relationship with Hashem because we were working so hard. And part of being taken out of Mitzrayim was given the opportunity to not be doing work, to rest, and be able to have a connection with Hashem. So Shabbos also relates to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So, midaraisa, all you have to do for this mitzvah is to say it, to make a bracha. But Chazal came along and they said it would be more appropriate to do it over wine. And specifically over wine right before a meal.
Bracha
would be Mekadish HaShabbos. Just that bracha of Mekadish, we mentioned Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zechel Ma'aseh Bereishis, Mekadish HaShabbos. That's the bracha that would fulfill Zachar on a Daraisa level. But Chazal came along and said, do it over a cup of wine. Because we want to show that Shabbos is special, and all the food, all the drink, all the merriment, the physical merriment that we're having, is all related to Shabbos. Shabbos is not just special in a spiritual, esoteric sense. Shabbos is celebrated physically, with physical enjoyment, and all that is coming in honor of Shabbos. So before we eat anything on Shabbos, when Shabbos begins, we start off by declaring Shabbos as special over a cup of wine, which shows joy, simcha, and that's how we begin Shabbos just like that. There's actually an opinion that on a Daraisa level, all you have to do is just say good Shabbos. Saying good Shabbos might be zachar, you're mentioning, remembering it's Shabbos. Others say, well, even if it's not saying good Shabbos, maybe just davening Friday night. You're saying Mekadish HaShabbos and davening. So it's difficult because we don't mention Yetzias Mitzrayim and davening on Friday night. So that's the way we do it. We fulfill mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos Friday night when Shabbos begins by doing it over a cup of wine right before we eat. That means right before and also in the same place that you're going to be eating. It's called Kiddush B'Makom Suda. You have to have Kiddush in the same place you're going to be eating and right before. So are women included in the mitzvah of Zachar? Should women be obligated to make Kiddush or hear Kiddush on Shabbos?
You said you have Kiddush right before
the meal
that you're going to eat, but
so many of us, we go to a Kiddush and then we go home and eat.
Good. So we'll talk about Shabbos Day in a second. Okay. Unless you have a Kiddush Friday night somewhere.
Oh, you don't have a Kiddush.
We'll say Friday night first, then we'll go to Shabbos Day.
Sorry.
Unless you have Kiddush on Friday night somewhere. I want to be invited to those. It's time. So you would think women should not be obligated in Kiddush on Shabbos because it's a mitzvah seseh. It's a positive mitzvah. Shaz ma'an grama.
But we left Mitzrayim.
Right. So that's one aspect. But it's another reason the Gemara says why women actually are obligated in Kiddush, even though it's a time-bound positive mitzvah. Because there is actually another version of the Aseret HaDibros later in the Torah. When Moshe repeats the Aseret HaDibros, he changes that word zachar to something else. To the word shamor. Right? So really, two accounts of the same event. Well, what did Hashem actually say? Did he say Zachor? Or did he say Shamor?
Well, yes.
Well, Moshe's repeating it.
B'di
Barachad, exactly. Chazal and Masechas Brachos say that Hashem was able to do something that people can't do, was to say at the exact same time, Zachor and Shamor. So Zachor is the mitzvah of Kiddush. And Shamor, to guard yourself, is the mitzvah not to do Malacha on Shabbos. So women, are they obligated in that, not to do Malacha on Shabbos? Yeah, women are obligated in all negative commandments. So because Zachar and Shamar, B'dibor Echad Nemru, they were said simultaneously, there's a connection between Zachar and Shamar. And therefore, everybody who's obligated in Shamar is obligated in Zachar. And because women are obligated in Shamar, this will be an exception to the rule. They're obligated in Zachar Midaraisa, just like men. The obligation for men and women Friday night is exactly the same, not different at all. Friday night Kiddush for men and women is exactly the same obligation because there's a connection between Zachar and Shamar. The way we have it in Chumash is that in Yisrael, the first one, it says Zachar, and in the second one, in Vaschanan, it says Shamor. And the way the Gemara phrases it is Zachar v'Shamor nemru b'dibur echad. But in Lechadodi, if you notice, it says Shamor v'Zachar. So why did he switch the order? Probably because he made an acrostic for his name, Shlomo. Al-Kavitz made an acrostic, so Shamor fit better to put first. But technically, in the Torah, has a Zachar first, but it doesn't really make a difference. Okay, so women have the exact same obligation as men when it comes to Kiddush on Friday night. So that's Friday night. Now, it makes sense why the Iker of Kiddush would be Friday night, because it's about when Shabbos begins. When Shabbos first comes in, you want to make it special, to mention it, to inaugurate the day, to sanctify all that we're going to be celebrating throughout the day, all the food, all the drinking, all the merriment. So it starts at Friday night. So that's really all the mitzvah is, midaraisa. Then Chazal came along, and they said, we're also going to have Kiddush Shabbos day. We're going to have Kiddush Shabbos morning, because you're going to be having a big, lavish meal, and you want to show it's an honor of Shabbos also. So they established Kiddush on Shabbos morning as well. Actually, the Rambam's opinion is to have Kiddush by Shalosh Shudas also. Anybody do that?
No.
No. Okay. No, nobody. Even in Shulchan Aruch, that's not. Even the Shulchan Aruch who follows.
Nobody does that, though.
Correct. Even the Shulchan Aruch who always follows the Rambam. Does not. You're looking for newcomers? Want to have extra wine around the house? So even the Shulchan Aruch, who always follows the Rambam to a T, doesn't quote that halacha of making a cup of Kiddush on a cup of wine before Shalosh Shudas. But Shabbos morning, Chazal, Maseches Pesachim, they tell us that there's a mitzvah derabanan to have Kiddush Shabbos morning. Again, because you're going to have a big lavish meal. It's going throughout the day. It's important to make Kiddush then. But if you notice, there's only one bracha Shabbos morning. Unlike Friday night where there's Hagafen and Makadish HaShabbos, on Shabbos morning, it's just Hagafen. We say Psukim beforehand, Shamar Zachar. We say Psukim to give it some teeth, to make it seem more Shabbos related. But Rav Soloveitchik would just make Hagafen. That was it. He wouldn't say any Psukim before. That's the Iker of Kiddush. You're just having a full cup of wine, everyone around the table, having everyone in mind. That is the mitzvah on Shabbos morning, just to have a cup of wine. Now, ironically, Chazal referred to the Shabbos day Kiddush as Kiddusha Rabbah, the great Kiddush. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that that's really a euphemism, which means that it's really the not great Kiddush, because it's not Daraisa. We're not reciting any bracha other than Hagafen, which we would do on a regular Tuesday with a cup of wine. So it's really the not great Kiddush. But to make it feel better, we say, oh yeah, you're the great Kiddush. So we call it that for that purpose. But before we eat on Shabbos day, we also have Kiddush. So most opinions say women are obligated in that as well. That is the majority opinion, which implies. There's a minority view that says that women were never included in that derabanan of Kiddush on Shabbos morning, but it might be used as, at the end of the shiur, we talk about practical cases, might be a factor contributing to be makel on certain issues, but we assume women are obligated in that mitzvah as well, Shabbos morning. Okay, so now we're going to get very practical.
Why shouldn't they be?
Why shouldn't they be? Because there, Chazal are establishing a mitzvah derabanan that's time-bound, and we don't have that connection, Shamor v'Zachor. Right, the mitzvah d'araisa of Kiddush is Zachor, that's connected to Shamor, but some might argue that when Chazal instituted it, it was a separate derabanan enactment, and women aren't obligated in derabanan enactments that are time-bound. But the majority opinion says, no, it's just another fulfillment of Zachor. Chazal, we're giving you an extension of Zachor, so that's also tied to Shamor. So that's why we say women are obligated in Kiddush on Shabbos morning as well. So the obligation really is... Yeah.
So question. So when you say women are obligated, are you talking about hearing it, saying
excellent.
It, drinking it? What are they obligated to do?
You're the official segue person, and whatever I need to make a segue. Good. So what does that mean? It means that every person has an obligation to make Kiddush. So what really should happen is every adult, and maybe even every minor who's above the age of chinuch, every person should make their own Kiddush. That's what could be done. Everyone shakes a lulav on their own. Every man puts on tefillin on his own. So it could be, maybe, every single person at the table should make their own Kiddush.
There are some families that do that.
And there are some families that do that, especially every male, that they'll make their own Kiddush.
Even the girls I've seen.
Yeah?
Because they say it's not fair.
Gotta be fair. It's important to be fair. So that could be so, that maybe every single person to make Kiddush, like every person does their own mitzvahs. However, there's a concept called Shomea Ke'ona. Shomea Ke'ona applies in all mitzvahs. Shomea Ke'ona means the one who is listening is like the one who is saying it. We use Shomea Ke'ona all the time. When we have Tekiya Shofar in Shul, we don't each make our own bracha. One person makes the bracha, and everyone else listens and has in mind to be Yotze. And we have Mikra Megillah. One person makes the bracha, and everyone else has in mind to be Yotze. So lulav is something you have to physically do. We're talking about saying something. Shomea Ke'ona only works for things you have to say. I can't
say Kiddush without drinking.
Good.
No.
Kiddush has to be said.
Take that back.
So Chanukah is different because Chanukah is one per household. That's a good question. Chanukah is about one per household. So there's an equal obligation for men and women in Chanukah also because they were included in that miracle. So either man or woman of the house could light the menorah. Either one of them is equally obligated and equally able to fulfill it for the household. So Chanukah is a household, not a personal obligation.
Women are obligated to light candles themselves?
So we assume that Neri should be so, that wife is included in the husband for Chanukah. Maybe I'll come back before Chanukah and we can have a...
We did this once.
You did once?
We did with Rabbi Black.
Well, let's get back to Kiddush. So really, every person should make Kiddush for themselves, but there's an idea of Shomea Ke'ona that it's possible for one person to be motzi, to fulfill the obligation of everybody else. And in some cases, that's actually preferable. There's a rule called Berav Am Hadras Melech. With a larger number of people included in one mitzvah, that is Hadras Melech. It's glory of the king. It gives Hashem more honor when people doing a mitzvah together. Every person's in their own corner doing a mitzvah on their own. It's kind of individualistic. We would rather have a big, large bracha and shul for Megillah, for Shofar, and for Kiddush also. It's nice to have one big. Like you mentioned, there are people who have every person recite their own Kiddush, but I think the more prevalent custom is that one person in the household recites Kiddush on behalf of the family. That can be done by either the man or the woman.
I think it's more prevalent today. In the generations before, first of all, they thought it was a chinuch for the
mm-hmm. boys. That's definitely a factor.
But, you know, as we became more to the right, it's been, I think it's one person, growing up, I remember everybody. You know, not the women, the men. All the men.
Yeah?
My kids make Kiddush.
Yeah. It's excellent chinuch.
My kids make Kiddush.
It's excellent chinuch. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that's...
No, it's excellent chinuch, but there is a factor to consider of having one person be motzi everybody else. To have everyone doing it together. So
because... When that happens, what happens with the actual drinking?
So
which one?
Everybody.
Where?
Everybody.
We're one person for everyone?
One
good, so we're going to get... Well, we're almost ready for your segue. we're almost ready for your segue. That's my next section. So because men and women have an equal obligation, we're talking now about Friday night. Because men and women have an equal obligation in Kiddush, either one of them can make Kiddush on behalf of the family. It's equally preferable. Shemura writes, if there are men in the house who are not family, and maybe it would be a lack of tznias for a woman to make Kiddush...
I don't think this would go over well in a Sephardic house.
Every culture should definitely follow their norms. No doubt. Right? So, in a family setting, there's absolutely no difference between a man and a woman making Kiddush on behalf of the family. Mishnah Berurah recommends if there's other men who are not family, maybe it's not tznias, if she's doing a fantastic kivanu. Maybe that's not appropriate.
Especially if it's just better than him.
Doesn't want to shame her husband, that's right. Okay? So, The way it works when one person is being motzi everybody else is that everyone who is listening has to have in mind to be yotze, and the person who's doing the motziing, the person who's fulfilling everybody else, should have in mind to be motzi everybody else. It's even better, Mishmur recommends that if the person making kiddush should say, everyone should have in mind to be yotzei. Just as a verbal reminder that he's having them in mind. What I like to say, I learned from someone else, I tell my wife, I always have you in mind. Aww. Okay, moving on. You listening? Okay. So that's the idea, by the way, of why people say Sabri Maran Rabban Rabosai. That idea is gathering the listeners, everyone, Rabbanan Rabosai, listen together as I'm about to make kiddush and make a bracha. I'm going to be motzi you in the bracha.
Now, I was told that if a woman, I don't know if it's for everybody or just for herself, does not say Sabri Maran.
Interesting. If she's saying it for herself, a woman wouldn't.
Sabri,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly.
Told by my friend's religious son-in-law.
Yeah, savri means to like pay attention. It means listen up. Savar, keep in mind, pay attention. Yeah, it's a command to pay attention. Everyone listen up. That's what that means. And before making a bracha, if someone's being motzi someone else, you would say, listen up, I'm making a bracha on your behalf. That would be also true, let's say, for hamotzi. Brishos Maranan, right? You're saying, I'm having you in mind for hamotzi. One person's making the bracha on Lecha Mishnah on behalf of the family. So that would be another case of Shomea Ka'ona. One person motzi everybody else.
So
everyone
say it if you're only one person.
Right. Yeah.
But we don't say Sabri on those kind of brachas. So
like what?
Challah.
On challah, people say Brishos Maranan. No one does that?
Yeah.
They don't
say
Ramadan, Brishos.
No? People do that? I think so. That's why it's important for people not to talk during kiddush. Talking, whispering, it's important not to talk because you have to hear every single word from the person making kiddush over wine. And that's why it's important to say amen at the end. Amen is a fulfillment, is a affirmation of the bracha. Amen means true, I agree, I affirm, I'm part of this process. So listening carefully, not talking, understanding the words that are being said, perhaps following along at a bencher if possible, if not, listening carefully, and saying amen at the end. That is how everyone listening can fulfill kiddush. Now, ready for the segue? Drinking. So what happens then? So halacha is you have to make kiddush over a revius of wine. A revius of wine, opinions range anywhere from about 3 to 5 ounces. Kiddush Friday night, which is daraisa, we picked a strict number, about 4.5 fluid ounces. And one person has to drink majority of that. Rov kos, majority of that, called melol lugma v'chikful, which is approximately majority of the revius, which would be about 2.2, 2.3 ounces have to be drunk from that cup. That holds about 4.5 ounces.
And what if there are 5 people at the table?
So
you fill more wine.
It's better. Yeah, so it's better if one person drinks at least that amount of 2.2 ounces.
Does it matter which person?
It's better if the person making the kiddush does it, but if that person doesn't want to or is not feeling well, then they can pass it on to someone else. But it's best if the person making the bracha is the one to drink.
If it's 8 ounces, then you have to drink 4.
It'd be better to use a smaller cup because. There is an opinion that it's not Rov Revius, it's Rov Kos, which would mean the cup. I've seen some pretty large, like...
Goblets.
It's like goblets is the right word.
Let's just back it up. You said if the person is not feeling well, if the person is really not feeling well, the husband, and he can't make Kiddush, can you make Kiddush? Can I make Kiddush?
Yeah. It's an equal obligation for men and women. That's absolutely okay. For the wife to make Kiddush on behalf of the family is exactly the same as the man. They have an equal obligation. Zachar v'Sham were said together. Same exact obligation. So only one person needs to drink that amount. Everybody else who's there doesn't have to drink anything. But Shmuel recommends is a nice idea of showing of love for mitzvos. To pass around some wine, everyone should have a little, or grape juice, to pass around a little bit, and everyone has some to show that they're a part of the mitzvah, that they're enjoying the mitzvah. But that's not required. Me'ikar adin. It's not strictly required. It's a nice thing if everyone partakes. It's a nice thing if people sit down for that drinking, even though there are some who stand for Kiddush. My family minhag is to stand for Kiddush, but the best thing to do would be to sit when actually drinking the wine. Because the whole point of drinking the wine before the meal is to kovei a suda, to say that this suda that we're having is all about Shabbos. Now, no one eats standing up. So in order to say it's a meal, you should have it sitting down. So even if you don't sit for Kiddush, it's best to drink that wine while sitting down. And even if you're passing around the wine, it would be a nice thing if people are sitting down when they're having those... bits of wine. And one thing to keep in mind when pouring wine for the family is the idea of yayin pugum. That means wine that is damaged. So damaged wine would not mean that someone took a hammer and smashed it. Any wine that has been drunk from has a status of pugum, flawed, diminished.
Drank from meaning from the bottle.
If someone took from the cup and drank from it and poured it around in different cups, that is all yayin pagan. That is all not good wine. So it would not be correct for the person making kiddush on behalf of the family to drink out of the cup and then to pour into different cups and pass that around.
But
see, I like how this is going. But so, what are the options? How can you?
First.
If you pour first, you make the bracha. You pour into a cup. You could have other grape juice, other wine to add in before, after, into that separate cup and pass that cup around. But it's best if the mevarich, the person making the bracha, does not drink from the wine, and then pour from that cup.
And what about the husband drinks the wine and then I drink from the same cup?
Good. So that's okay because yayin pagam, flawed, broken wine, refers to pouring it out of that cup. Just like the person drinking out of the cup could take two sips, they could take one sip and give it to someone else to take the same sip. So in the same cup, there's never an issue. The same person drinking twice, passing on to a spouse, or out of the same cup is, I've been in houses where the whole family passes that cup around and they share germs.
Exactly, we share germs.
We share germs in this family.
But it's
yeah.
Alcohol cleans it.
Or if it's grape juice. Right, so another option could be people do. One way to remove the status of pugum, the flawed status, is to add extra wine or grape juice. People will sometimes take a drink from the cup, and then they'll add in more grape juice, and then they'll pour that into little cups. That would also be okay, although maybe not sanitary, because the person... So one good option that's sanitary and also fulfills the halacha would be to pour first, leaving at least 2.5 ounces in the cup, and the person who made the bracha should drink that. Questions? Yes. Mm-hmm.
As it is now, I know I am not used to eating
4 o'clock
at a ridiculous hour.
Right.
For me, when my husband comes home from shul, can we wait to do kiddush like an hour later? Because then from kiddush we go to eat the meal.
Great question. So the ikar halacha is the Shulchan Aruch is that the second you come home, it's best, because the point of Kiddush is to say, today is Shabbos, Shabbos is special. The more hours of Shabbos you can include in that, instead of doing it at 7:30, but if you can do it at 5 o'clock, you're including more hours of Shabbos under that umbrella of Kiddush. However, if you're not feeling hungry, and that's not going to be an enjoyable meal, and Kiddush has to be connected to the meal, so in that hierarchy, it'd be better to wait until you're actually going to eat the meal. If you're not going to eat for another hour anyway, you should not make Kiddush and wait an hour. It'd be best just to delay Kiddush an hour. But if all things being equal, it's best to make Kiddush as early and have the meal as early as possible, so more hours of Shabbos are under that umbrella of Zachar. Make sense?
Yes. Okay, question.
Yes.
So after the speaker of the bracha makes the bracha, so there's a thing where you should drink the wine. Like, you don't want to have a hefsek between the bracha and then drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So do you pour for everybody else first? Do you pour separately for yourself, drink, and then pour for everybody else? What's the best way?
It's a good question, because, like we said, we don't want to have any hefsek between the bracha and the drinking. Mm-hmm. However, hefsek would mean something unrelated. So any need for a kiddush, sometimes even talking, let's say, pass me that cup. Mm-hmm. So even though you're speaking, that would be a tzorach ha-kiddush, that would be a need of kiddush. So it's not best to do that, but that would not be counted as a hefsek. So I would say pouring into little cups would not be a hefsek, although I do agree with you, it would probably be the best to immediately pour some out into a cup and drink. That way it's immediate, and because that's the ikar mitzvah, for the person making the bracha to drink it, and everyone else having some is wonderful, but that's not the main part. It's the person making the bracha who should be having 2.5 ounces. So I agree with you, it's best to first pour some out and drink it, and then to pour little cups to everybody else. It's important that everybody else does not talk that entire time. Aside from not talking during the actual kiddush, so you don't miss any words or interrupt when someone's being motziyum, if you are relying on that person's bracha, hagafen, you can't talk, because if you're talking, you're separating between that person's bracha and yours. In other words, there are some that when everyone gets their own cup, they make their own hagafen. But probably more correct is that you are relying on that person's hagafen, so everyone partaking does not need a separate hagafen. Everyone at the table does not need a separate hagafen because they're all being yotze that hagafen through the person who made kiddush for everybody else. That's correct. Correct. And that's why it's best not to say anything. Again, if you say something related, like passing that cup, or I was first, well, if you say something related to the kiddush, maybe that would not be an interruption b'di'evet if it already happened, but l'chadchila, preferably, one should rely on that bracha. If one does say something unrelated, freezing, I have to get my gloves or something. So then, that's unrelated, so then they should make their own Hagafen afterwards. But that's not preferable. It would be preferable not to say anything, not only during Kiddush, but after Kiddush, while the wine is being poured, while being poured and passed around. It's preferable not to say anything, therefore you can rely on the bracha Hagafen that the person who was motzi everybody else made. I'll pause for questions, comments, complaints, stories.
Can you say, wait until the Hagafener.
Good question. Good question. When he's passing around, he hasn't drunk yet. Is it better to wait? So the answer is, good question, first of all. And the answer is that if it comes from his cup, then you should wait for him. If he, in a typical case, is pouring after from his cup, you should wait for him to drink. In some families, in my in-law's house, everyone first pours grape juice in their own cup before. And the Mavarich has in mind everyone and all their grape juices. If everyone has their own cup before it starts, then you don't have to wait for the person to drink. But if he's pouring, which is most cases, if he's pouring out of his cup for everybody else, then it's appropriate to wait until he drinks first. Good question.
So if you're a motzi for a whole table full, they could each have their own, they don't need
a full cup
from the Kiddush cup.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. They just need to hear it, so they can all have their own beforehand. You don't have to do the whole pouring thing.
Correct.
From
that's what my in-laws do. Everyone has, you don't have to have, the person who's making the bracha has to have a full cup and a nice cup. Everybody else has a plastic cup and they pour a little bit, not a lot. And that would be okay.
I like that idea a lot. That's a great idea because people don't have to wait.
That's what my in-laws do.
It's a wonderful.
There might be something special about pouring out of the actual goblet, but it sounds like it's equally fine.
So supposing everybody doesn't have the little cup in front of them, like I know sometimes you go to the house and they have the little cups right in front of the person.
There are also some people who will fill up those cups a little bit and they'll just add a little bit. That way you don't have to like pour the whole thing to add more. If you fill them up a lot of the way, it would be a nice thing to pour from the goblet into each one a little bit and pass it out. Again, some people just pour it out, everyone has by their seat beforehand. It might be something nice about pouring from the actual goblet, but it sounds like it's also okay.
What happens if you have the person who's making Kiddush pours into
a bigger cup
that's going to go
around? Like a fountain?
No, you mean like you're talking about like passing around? Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Still holds?
And if you have a bottle of wine that where the cork is out, you make Kiddush with your Kiddush cup, yeah, have it filled up, but that bottle is open. Does that mean you've made Kiddush already on that open bottle, even though it's not in front of you? Can you use that for another Kiddush at another time, or must you make sure to close the bottle when you're saying Kiddush?
Well, I don't think there's a problem with making...
He closes it.
You're saying he takes it off the table?
He makes sure to close the top.
So the bracha doesn't count for it?
Right. So he's not saying a bracha on that
wine. I've heard that before, this idea. I've heard an idea that once you use a certain amount of grape juice or wine for Kiddush, you can't use it again. I've not seen that anywhere in halachic sources. I've never seen any problem with using the same wine twice. Unless you drank from it.
It's in a bottle.
I've never seen an issue with having the same grape juice used twice.
Twice with a bracha.
Right. I've never seen an issue with using, I think even if it was out and open, I don't see an issue with reusing that for another Kiddush. I mean, what would be the issue? That once you've used it once for Kiddush?
You made Kiddush on it.
You accidentally made Kiddush on it.
But you're making it on the
cup.
You're not making it on the open bottle. The liquid is there.
I've never heard of an idea that once you use certain wine, it's already used up and you can't use it again. The idea, we're not making the wine holy. We're using the wine to sanctify Shabbos. So I would say you can use that wine again, even if it's out in the open. I don't see an issue with using the same wine twice. I don't think it's like once you're covered, it's like you're ruined now. If you drink from it, you shouldn't use that wine again. If you drink out of the bottle, then you shouldn't use that.
My husband, huh?
So you should close with a cork just to stop him from doing. Okay, other questions before we move on to eating and drinking before Kiddush. Any other issues about
Friday night or Shabbos day?
Shabbos.
For now, any issues relating to passing around the wine, making the bracha? Yeah.
I've seen people, if there's leftover majority of the cup,
talk louder.
Yes, I've seen people pour it back if there's a majority of the cup of the kos left over, pour it back in the bottle.
Yeah, but first you pour new wine.
So once you pour new wine into that cup, it makes the wine no longer pugum, no longer damaged, and now you can pour it back even into the large bottle. Again, sanitary things aside.
Right, no, so I didn't drink
even
from
if
it. It was poured into another cup.
Correct.
And then there's so much left over, I pour it back at the end of the meal, whatever.
Okay. Other questions about actual during Kiddush, right after Kiddush?
Are we going to do Kiddush on Shabbos when you could use something other than wine?
Is that something you want to talk about?
Well, are we going to get to it?
I wasn't planning on covering that topic specifically, but
people use schnapps.
That's
you're not taking 2.2 ounces.
So the reason why people...
I offer you two. You say that little.
So Kiddush Friday night, you cannot use another drink like that. Shabbos morning, which is the Rabbanan, there's reason to be mekel. Many are against the idea of using schnapps for Kiddush. Among other issues, first of all, wine is preferable. That's what the Gemara says. But secondly, you can't have a revius of schnapps. Or you won't make it to Shalosh Siddes. You won't make it to Shalosh Siddes. So the argument to allow it would be allowing a 1 ounce shot glass is to say the reason why we need to have 4 ounces for wine is because that's a significant amount for wine. But it could be the conversion table would say that when it comes to whiskey, the chashev amount isn't 4 ounces, it's 1 ounce. So that would be the argument to allow it. It's not preferable to use whiskey for Kiddush, even Shabbos day.
What if you make Kiddush at a simcha, at a
Kiddush,
and then you go home to eat a meal, you have to say Kiddush.
It's better to say Kiddush again when you actually have a meal, yes.
But that one you could certainly use not wine again.
There'd be more reason to be mekel by that one to use schnapps. But best for Kiddush, always to use wine.
Even though they serve schnapps for Kiddush, to do Kiddush.
Grape juice. Does everybody have to drink from it?
No.
nobody ever really has to drink, just except for the person making the mevarich, the person making the bracha. No one ever really has to. It's nice to pass it around, but if you're having schnapps, then maybe...
Everyone gets their own. And the alcohol content is much more.
That's right.
It's like more condensed.
Good. So let's talk about Shabbos morning.
Making Kiddush on your chalas if you don't have wine.
Good. So Friday night, yeah. So if you don't have any grape juice on Friday night, to make Kiddush on challah.
So how much do you have to eat?
You have to eat a kibitza. I don't remember.
And what do you say?
A good slice.
So here's what you do. If you're making Kiddush on bread, you would first wash your hands on motzi, meaning just you make alantin lasadayim, and then you would say vayachulu, and then you would say hamotzi, and you would say the bracha of Mekadosh HaShabbos.
Germans do that anyway.
Germans wash their hands before Kiddush.
1 second, so then you are not eating before you finish. You say the bracha on a motzi, right? But you can't eat.
The same thing as wine. We make hagafa and then we make Mekadosh HaShabbos.
Yeah, right.
For bread, you would just stick in that hamotzi instead of the hagafa. Everything else is that you'd wash beforehand.
Okay.
So Shabbos, so Friday night, because it's Daraisa, we're strict to have a real Suda. Real Suda means bread. So right after you have Kiddush, it's important to have bread. Shabbos morning, you asked before about Shabbos morning Kiddush. Like, what does that mean? You said, Makom Suda. That's what you asked before. So the answer is that since Shabbos morning is not as strict, because the mitzvah is only derabanan, there's leniency to call other things a Suda. Maybe not a formal loaf of bread, but cookies or cakes or pasta, things that are mizonos. Not everyone knows this, but right after hearing Kiddush Shabbos morning, you still can't eat until you've heard Kiddush. Hearing Kiddush means hearing Kiddush and eating a Suda.
Oh.
Which would mean it would not be appropriate to hear Kiddush Shabbos morning and then have a piece of potato kugel. Because you haven't heard Kiddush. Meaning, you haven't heard Kiddush Makom Suda. You're not called having heard Kiddush until you have heard Kiddush and had a Suda. A Suda has to be Hamotzi or Mizonos.
So in Shul,
right after, take a Mizonos. Very often on the Kiddush table, they'll have crackers and herring for that reason.
And herring.
They put mizonos, cookies, on the Kiddush table because you're supposed to have mizonos right after you hear Kiddush Shabbos morning. That locks in the Kiddush as B'makom Suda. Friday night, we wouldn't do this. We wouldn't have mizonos count as your Suda because it's the Raisa. Shabbos day,
what's we would... Before you go to Shul?
Not even for Kiddush? That's the last topic I want to talk about.
It's a question.
So that's what we're going to talk about.
Shabbos morning, Rabbi Schoenfeld makes Kiddush. And he does it because women had asked him because they can't make it themselves. If there's no Kiddush, those women go home.
He
makes Kiddush.
The Gemara.
And then that's what I said. That's what I just said. And then they walk home, but then it's wrong.
So the Gemara already has.
Give them something.
The Gemara already has the minhag to make Kiddush in Shul Friday night and on Shabbos morning, perhaps, but mainly for those who are sleeping in Shul, those who don't have a place to eat. For the guests, those who have no place to eat, they make Kiddush on behalf of those. The minhag is still to do that, even though Baruch Hashem, we shouldn't have people sleeping in our shul Friday night, but we still make Kiddush in shul. But that Kiddush really should not work.
It's not right. It's
okay to make it. It's a nice minhag based on what used to be, but that wouldn't really cover you for when you go home.
So I still have to go home and make Kiddush.
Agreed.
Didn't there used to be some kind of an accusation years ago about the blood libels? When they used to make Kiddush, did they abolish that because years ago?
I don't know if they abolished it so much. A lot of shuls do. Our shul does it. Our shul makes Kiddush Friday night and makes shuls out this morning.
But remember years ago they used to say that accuse the Jews of what was in
what?
The cup?
I can't hear you. What?
They used to accuse the Jews years ago of blood libel with the wine and the cup.
So, actually, if you go to a Kiddush and shul, that's true. Okay, and then you come home and make a Kiddush and eat, your lunchtime meal can be your third meal of the day.
Theoretically, you're supposed to have Lecha Mishnah three times. You're supposed to have Hamosi three times, though. So if you go to Shul, some Kiddushim have actual rolls. Some Kiddushim have rolls at the Kiddush. You could wash there. But if you're only having Mizonos there, that wouldn't really count toward your three meals. Well, if it's your third meal, meaning you're having the second meal be Mizonos and your third meal, but that's really your second meal. The Iker Halacha is that you're supposed to have bread for all three meals. That's also possibly included in the Zachar. And women are included in the Zachar. Women have to eat Shalosh Shittos and have Lecha Mishnah also.
Lecha Mishnah?
I didn't say that.
There is a Kula that's in Shulchan Aruch about having Shalosh Shittos for men and women on fruits or mizonos or herring.
Fruit.
Okay.
I never did Lecha Mishnah. You just wash over.
The best thing would be to have challah and to have lecha mishnah for. That's the best thing to do. Yeah. For shalosh shittos also. Men and women are exactly the same. Yes, perfect segue. Here we go. So, eating before Kiddush, first through Friday night, and then we'll talk about Shabbos morning, which is probably the more practical case. Friday night. So, in general, there's a halacha that one is not allowed to eat before doing any mitzvah. When it comes to Bedikas Chametz or Neros Chanukah or Mikra Megillah, we don't eat before doing a mitzvah, and that is so that you don't get lost in your meal and forget to do the mitzvah. But if that's the only problem, you could have a snack. You could have a drink. There's no problem to have a drink before Neros Chanukah. You're not going to get lost in your cup of water and forget to do it. But the Shulchan Aruch writes that one is not even allowed to have any water before Kiddush. It's different than other mitzvahs. And the Kiva Eger, the Mishnah Berurah, they explain that there's something else stuff going on over here. It's not just a problem of eating before a mitzvah. It's that the whole mitzvah is not to eat before saying Kiddush. This isn't a typical mitzvah. Both. Equal.
How long? Okay, he's going to go into practical.
Equal, right? Food and drink are not permitted. Shukar, even water. You cannot have water before. Once the Chi of Kiddush begins, you cannot have food or water. So let's say Friday night. So when does the Chi of begin?
When you light candle.
When you're Makabel Shabbos. Shabbos has begun, and it's not permitted to eat or drink, even to have water. If you're taking a pill, that's fine. If you're washing out your mouth, that's fine. But to actually drink something, even if you were drinking before Shabbos started, you cannot continue.
Even if you have in mind that you want to continue.
Correct.
It's a warm drink. But
and say, I'm not going to be Makabel Shabbos until I get to where I'm going, right?
Yes.
Okay. Can you bench left and say, I'm not going to be Makabel until I go and have something to drink?
Yes. As long as you're before the 18th, as long as you're before Shkia. Whenever you're Makabel Shabbos, the general understanding is when I light candles, I'm Makabel Shabbos. So if that's the case, when you light candles, the default is you're Makabel Shabbos and you can't eat or drink.
But
how do you know what's coming? No, but that's the halacha. If you're Makabel Shabbos, even if you make early Shabbos, you make Shabbos 2 hours before nightfall. Once you're Makabel Shabbos, you can't eat or drink water before Kiddush. That's true for men and women. They have the same obligation in Kiddush, so they can't eat before Kiddush. That's the halacha Friday night. No but. Any questions? Friday night, can't eat once you light candle, once you're Makabel Shabbos. If you say, I'm not Makabel Shabbos, then whenever you are Makabel Shabbos.
In the summer, I cannot Makabel Shabbos for the next 2 hours.
What do you mean?
Well, because
you know, when you bench left early, you're being makabel shabbos.
Let's say I bench left 4 to 7.
So you're makabel shabbos then. You say that?
If I need to, I say it.
Fine. But if you light candles,
then
and don't say that.
Until
better not
why
to, but
you light so early then.
Whatever.
I was thinking that.
Just theory. Right. I'm Kabbalah Shabbos for 5 minutes because I still have to turn off my
stuff.
Okay. So that's Friday night. Once you're Kabbalah Shabbos, even if you're Kabbalah Shabbos early, there's an obligation of Kiddush, and one cannot eat or even drink water. You have a right to say, I'm not Makabel Shabbos when I light candles, but whenever you are Makabel Shabbos, which is typically candle time, but if you say in 10 minutes from now, then that's when your Chi of Shabbos, the Chi of Kiddush begins. And then from that point, you can't eat or drink. That's Friday night. There isn't much wiggle room over there. So you can't eat or drink before Kiddush on Friday night. If the man is away and there's no one to make, women are equally obligated in Kiddush. You make Kiddush for yourself. But you should wait until nightfall, not just sunset, but Tesa Kochavim. Which would be like about an hour
can
or so.
Can I skip ahead 24 hours?
That hopefully will be next week's topic. That will hopefully be next week's topic. Okay, so now let's go to Shabbos morning. So Shabbos morning is in theory the same as Friday night in the sense that once there's a chi of kiddush, you cannot eat or drink anything. For all these halachos are exactly the same. Once there's a chi of kiddush, eating a meal, having a snack, cup of water, they're all equally prohibited. Once the Chi of Kiddush begins. But when does that begin? Friday night, we know when you're Makabel Shabbos, the Chi of Kiddush begins. Shabbos morning, when does the Chi of Kiddush begin? When you first wake up in the morning, 6 a.m.?
Why not?
I'm asking.
Good. So here's how it works. When it comes to Friday night, the reason why it starts right away is because the second Shabbos starts, you have an obligation to sanctify, to remember, to make Shabbos special when it first begins. But Shabbos day, Chazal or Masakein, look, if you're going to have a big meal, you're not bringing in Shabbos anew. It's been Shabbos since last night. The idea of Kiddush on Shabbos morning is, before you have a big meal, make sure you specify that it's for Shabbos. So the Chi of Kiddush on Shabbos morning only begins when you're able to have a big meal. Are you able to eat a big meal before davening? And the answer is no.
Cereal and milk is considered a big meal?
A meal, any food like that, one is not allowed to eat before davening. I'll talk about a man's obligation first, and then we'll talk about when it comes to women. A man and women are not allowed to eat before davening. So if that's the case, there is no obligation of Kiddush. Since you can't eat a meal, it's not the time when Chazal said, make Kiddush right now. So what's the difference? You still can't eat because you can't eat before davening. But the difference is, before davening, it's more lenient. The reason why we don't eat before davening, Maran Bracha says, it's inappropriate for a person to take care of their own personal needs before davening to Hashem, before davening for their life, before having a connection, a avoda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not appropriate for a person to indulge in their own needs. Yeah, indulging is a problem, but a tea, a coffee, a cup of water, especially if it helps you focus for davening, that would be okay.
A cookie?
So
what if you take medication and you need to eat something?
Good, so we're going to get there in 1 second. Okay? So again, once the Chi of Kiddush begins, nothing is okay. Once there's a Chi of Kiddush, even water is not okay. But we're talking about before there is an obligation of Kiddush, the only issue would be eating or drinking before davening. So in this case, it turns out that a woman who usually daven shacharis has an advantage. If you don't daven shacharis, then you can't say, well, I don't have a chiv yet because I haven't davened yet. If you don't daven yet, for you, the obligation of Kiddush might kick in right away. Moshe Feinstein writes that, no, you should follow your husband in that case. If you're not going to daven shacharis, if a woman is married, so then she should follow when her husband daven shacharis. You should do a calculation that the main shul starts at 9, and they get to Pesukei Dezimra's over 9:20 something, and they get to Shacharis 9:40. So 9:40 is when So about 9:40 or so is when my husband daven Shacharis. But if a woman herself does daven Shacharis, then her chi of Kiddush doesn't begin till after she daven Shacharis. Would mean there's no obligation, there's no prohibition to drink water, or have tea or coffee before davening. Okay, there's no issue of Kiddush because Kiddush hasn't started yet, and there's no problem of davening because for davening we allow small little drinks, little tastes here and there. What if you're taking medication and you have to also eat something? So here, the Mishnah Berurah in his Ber Halacha is strict. He says, the reason we told you don't have a Chi of Kiddush and you could drink water is because you weren't allowed to eat. But if you're sick and you have to actually eat something, then you have to make Kiddush. If you're going to tell me that you're allowed to eat a real meal or cake or something before davening because you really need it, fine. So you have to make Kiddush now. So Moshe Feinstein and Mishnah Berurah together, they both agree that if one has to eat something for the sake of medication on Shabbos morning before davening, they should have to recite Kiddush, which you can do for yourself. Shabbos morning is not complicated, it's just Hagafen. They're nice psukim to say, but if you're not feeling well, fill up a cup to the top, make a Hagafen, drink it sitting down, bam, your Yotzei Kiddush, now you can make a mezonos on your food.
You have to have a mezonos.
Mezonos. Kiddush Melech Masuda, yeah.
What if you don't need it for, you just want something with your tea, and you're davening Shacharis?
If you don't really need it for davening, then if you're going to be davening Shacharis, and you don't really need to eat it, you better not to eat it before davening. If you need to eat before davening, then you probably have to make Kiddush. In this book that Rav Schoenfeld is going through, he's makel that if someone's not feeling well and they need to eat something, they can have the best of both worlds. They can eat before davening and still not have a chi of Kiddush. That it goes based on when most people are eating a meal. And since most people aren't eating a meal at this point, this early in the morning, you wouldn't have a chi of Kiddush. Mishnah Berurah and Rav Moshe are machmir that if you're going to be eating before davening, if you really need it, you should make Kiddush first. But here he says that if you really need it and you can't wait, it's possible that you don't have to make Kiddush. But again, if a cup of grape juice is available, why not? It doesn't hurt so much.
If you're a speaker, you're speaking in shul, right? And you want to have a bottle of water with you because your mouth gets dry when you're speaking. You have to make Kiddush before you have that bottle of water?
You're not having the bottle.
No, you're drinking from the bottle.
So the truth is, that kind of water might not require a brech at all.
Right.
Someone takes water to swallow a pill.
Right.
Or someone takes water as a speaker, as I haven't touched my water today, right? As someone who is speaking, that water might not even require a bracha at all because it's not for the sake of thirst. It's for the sake of keeping your mouth loose or keeping yourself, your throat is hurting or something's in your throat. So that wouldn't really count as food or drink at all. That doesn't require a bracha. So that would probably be okay, even without making a bracha at all. Even a shahakal, that's not for the sake of thirst.
But the bottom line is women are not allowed to eat.
They cannot eat once the Chi of Kiddush begins, which begins once you daven Shacharis.
So I can eat until 9 o'clock?
If you daven Shacharis at 9 o'clock, you can have coffee and tea.
My husband is not going to daven Shacharis until 9:30. So
until 9:30, you're allowed to have
brew food, just drink.
Drink, coffee, tea. If you're going to have food, make Kiddush.
Nothing like yogurt. I mean, that's not considered like
shakal.
If something is really necessary for davening, you feel like I can't focus in shul, so then that would probably be okay before davening also, and I wouldn't really require kiddush. So I would say for yogurt, which is not mizon, not a real suda, that would be okay. If someone needs to have a yogurt before they go to shul on Shabbos morning, because they haven't davened shacharis yet, there's no obligation of kiddush, and it's not disrespectful to Hashem to have a little yogurt here and there, and that's not really counted as a meal food, so it would be okay to have a little drink or a yogurt without making kiddush before davening. Once you're already having a mezonos, which is a real meal food, you should make kiddush first. Fruit is also okay. If it's mezonos or hamotzi, and you need to have it before davening, it counts as a meal food. That's the case. Mishnah Berurah says you should make kiddush before you actually have it.
Sometimes you take.
1 second.
I'm sorry. Didn't we say that kiddush just comes right before a meal?
Right.
So why are we making kiddush in order to have a cookie?
Because they're making that.
Because on Shabbos morning, a cookie counts as a meal. We go to kiddush all the time. It's a meal enough that we would say kiddush over it. If you come downstairs after davening, you would make kiddush before having a cookie or a cracker, right? So cookies and crackers, mezonos, for Shabbos morning at least, count as food, count as a meal.
And how much should you daven? Should you say brachas before you have that?
Yes, thank you for reminding me. Here it says that before having anything, even on a regular Tuesday,
even
should say brachas ha-shachar, brachas ha-torah. That's before, that's a regular Sunday morning, Tuesday, before, even whether you're davening or not davening today, if you're going to be eating or drinking something, it's best to say Berchos HaShachar and Berchos HaTorah first, always, every day.
Because I teach every morning in Yehuda Kodesh at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we first have breakfast. I give the kids, we have cereal, and then we start our davening afterwards. So now you're saying that we really shouldn't be eating that cereal first? We should be saying the Berchos HaTorah first?
In a school, you have to talk to the administration.
In other classes I've done, we've had breakfast after davening. We used to have davening first, and then breakfast, but I like, because we'll have an older class now, and it's a very extensive time, we go through the entire thing, Shemona Esra and everything, it's very hard for them to physically do all that on an empty stomach. So maybe what we could do is, we can do the Berchas HaTorah
Berachas HaShachar.
What's considered the end of Berachas HaTorah?
Berachas HaShachar, all of them.
All, even Berach Shamar?
No, 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 that's Pesukah Dezimra.
Till Pirkei Dezimra. But it's hard to take a break, so maybe, yeah, we'll probably have to...
Speak to the school, see what they want to do. I'm changing lives over here.
Wasn't during the week about this.
Yeah, even during the week, it's best not to eat or drink anything until making Berachas HaShachar. And before davening, not to have anything significant. Okay, so I'll say to make sure it's extra clear. For Shabbos morning, once the Chiyuv Kiddush begins, you cannot eat or drink anything. When does the Chiyuv Kiddush begin? So, before you start davening, there's no Chiyuv Kiddush. So you can have water or tea or a coffee, whatever you need to help you get through davening. If you're going to have something substantial, which I consider to be, which he says is mezonos hamotzi, then you should make Kiddush before having that. If you're going to have a little fruit or going to have a yogurt, that's not substantial. If it's necessary for davening, you would not have to make Kiddush on Shabbos morning before davening to have a drink, or to have fruit, or to have yogurt or something
okay,
like that.
Wait a minute.
Yes, you should always say Berachas HaTorah, Berachas HaShachar
okay, so
before
that. If I'm going to shul, I'm going to daven Shabbos in shul. So if I want to eat my tea with cookies or something, so I have to say
Kiddush. If you're going to have a cookie, it's best if you say
Kiddush.
I can say Kiddush.
Right.
If you need it because you're not feeling well,
no,
he's
I
making.
I need it because I want it. This is not a need, so I really can't.
Oh, wait, maybe you won't be able to focus till 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
He is makel that even for mezonos, if you feel like you need it because you're not feeling well, it's going to help you daven. You wouldn't have to make kiddush in that case. If that's really the case that you feel like it's going to help your daven.
Not like sick,
but if it's really something you need in the morning in order to come to shul and daven, then you probably wouldn't have to make kiddush. Then either, as long as you haven't daven shacharis yet. Before shacharis, there's no obligation of kiddush. Once you daven shacharis, even before musaf, there's no obligation to recite kiddush before eating anything.
Say brachos if you do it. Yeah.
Yes. Always say brachos first.
Yeah. Okay, but then I have to stop. Because I start shacharis before I go to shul.
Always brachos first. Before.
And, you know you're going to hear from somebody else kiddush. Can you make the kiddush on shahako, or it has to be grape juice?
Who, that person or you? Say again, what's the case?
If you know you're going to hear kiddush afterwards, after daven, after musaf is over.
Proper kiddush in order to eat would probably require hagafen. It's best to make kiddush on hagafen all the time. If you don't have anything else, okay, but always best if you're going to be eating something, if you in a case where you require kiddush, that kiddush is best to be on a hagafen. Final questions before I summarize?
Okay.
No questions.
No, I have a question. Sometimes you take medicine not because you're sick, but to stop you from becoming sick.
Like, if you need medicine.
And you can't take that on an empty stomach.
So that would be the case where Rishon Berurah says you're supposed to make Kiddush, and this author, that Rishon Berurah approved of, so I assume it's okay to say.
You may not have gotten that.
That's a different
It's on the next page where he left off. I assume maybe he glanced at it. That's the case if someone is taking medication, even if they're having a mezonos, so that's the case where this author says that you don't have to make Kiddush.
Before we summarize, one thing. A lot of us have guests on Shabbos, and we leave our cake and coffee for them. So should we also be leaving a kiddush cup? I'm thinking
and a sitter.
Because we don't want to cause them to inadvertently stumble. So,
yeah.
Right? Don't a lot of us leave cake and coffee for when they sleep over? Because we don't know what time they go to different shul. We don't know what time they're going to be dominating. So a lot of times I leave out coffee and cake, you know.
He's making specifically for women, because he mentioned there's a minority opinion that says that women aren't even obligated in kiddush on Shabbos day, which is not how we hold, but that can sometimes, but we don't actually rely on that. We don't actually use that opinion. In this case, where there's a machlokes about before davening and we're having a mezonos, so that he's willing to be mekel, if she's really going to be really hungry, to eat without making kiddush.
So a man who needs to take medicine, is it the same or is it different?
That's the case where the Mishnah Berurah would say you have to, and he's less willing to be lenient by a case of a man.
So the man should make kiddush.
Should make kiddush if he's having something substantial. Something substantial, yeah. Mr. Burris says he's going to make kiddush in that kind of a case. Best to use grape juice or wine. As long as you have it available, you're supposed to use grape juice or wine. Yeah.
What about if you eat Pesach cake?
Pesach cake is shahakal.
Right.
So whatever said about shahakal is true about this. It's like yogurt, yeah.
I have that problem with my son-in-law, and he still used to do mezonos. On Pesach, he had no mezonos. There was only shahakal.
Yeah, it's very hard. If you don't eat gebrachot, you don't really have any mezonos to use for kiddush. So it's very difficult.
Yeah.
What do you do in that kind of a case? You have an extra cup of wine, maybe? It's very hard for those. My family doesn't eat gebrachot. It's hard to have kiddush makom suda before the meal on Pesach because there's no mezonos to use if you don't eat the breakfast. Okay, so we talked today about women's obligation in Kiddush. We said it comes from the Kiddush in general comes from the mitzvah of Zohar, which you would think would be only for men because it's time-bound, but because it's connected to Shamor, women are equally obligated in Kiddush. Chazal said Friday night and Shabbos day, one should do it on a cup of wine right before they have the meal. This is how we show that Shabbos is special, and this is how we show that everything we're doing is all in the honor in the name of Shabbos. We say Kiddush on Shabbos, Friday night is Daraisa, so we're more strict about using grape juice and more about not having mezonos. So you have to use real hamotzi on Friday night. One person makes Kiddush on behalf of others. That's possible to exempt someone else's chiyuv through one person. That one person should have a cup. It's at least 4 ounces, and at least drink half of that, more than half of that. It's a nice thing to pour out wine for everyone else there. Everyone else there should listen carefully, not miss any words, be quiet, and make sure to have in mind to be yotzei and say amen, and then to drink based on that person's bracha, not speak. That way you can rely on that person's bracha. It's best to pour out the wine before drinking from it. That way it doesn't become pogam, it doesn't become damaged. We said on Friday night, as soon as you light candles, and if you're Mekabel Shabbos, that means that there's prohibition to eat or drink anything, even water. On Shabbos morning, once the Chi of Kiddush begins, you're not allowed to have anything, including water. But before davening, there is no obligation of Kiddush, so one could have a little something that they could have before davening, something small, yogurt, fruit, tea, coffee, whatever helps. In a case where someone really needs to have cake to be able to function, that might be okay. Some say that it's better to make Kiddush in that kind of a case, but in a case where that's difficult to do, there are reasons to be lenient, especially for women on Shabbos morning, to have some cake before Kiddush on Shabbos morning. Okay? Oh, so